Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and this is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. With me this week, I do have two of my good friends. I have Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Hey, glad to be back after missing one.
Yeah, good to have you back. And welcome back, Kirk. Nice to see you again.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you.
Well, nice to hear you, since I can't really see you, but that's okay. And this week, we've got a lot to cover, actually. We're going to talk about Super Mario RPG, since we kind of skipped over that last week, since Trev wasn't here. And it's that time of year again. It's Black Friday as we're recording, but this will release on what they think they call Cyber Monday. So it's all about sales, sales, sales. So we'll talk about some of our highlights there, plus the games that we're playing at the moment. So we've got a few of those to talk through. So let's kick things off with Super Mario RPG. And Trev, I know you've been spending a good deal of time with this one. How are you finding it so far?
I have indeed. It's taken me away from Mario Wonder and the new WarioWare and some of these other games I've been playing. It is, well, I'm just going to say it might be my game of the year. I know I kind of alluded to that previously when I was debating, like, oh, should I even, you know, because it is a remake, you know, of an older game. But I knew I would like it because I liked the original, but it's even, it holds up better than I thought, because I hadn't played the SNES game, I think, since, I reviewed it, I think, when it came out on the Wii U Virtual Console, but that was, goodness, that could have been like a decade ago. I don't know. I should probably look it up. But, ton of fun. And I recommend it to anyone who likes Mario, anyone who likes RPGs. Obviously, I'm going to talk about it more when I post a review, but especially I recommend it to people like you, Gemma, who didn't have the game released in your region, or because for those folks, it's a brand new Mario RPG adventure. And if you like, the Mario and Luigi games from Alpha Dream or the Paper Mario series, I think you'll like this one just as much, if not even more, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah, for sure. I have also picked up the game and been playing it. Not as much. I haven't had as much time with it as you, I don't think. But I only started it yesterday.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah. And like you said, I had not played this before. So I was super excited because I had heard of it. I think I've mentioned this before. I'm definitely aware of its existence. It just wasn't released in Australia. And so I never had the chance to try it. And wow, I was thinking the exact same thing as you, Trev. This is 100% going to be in my top 10, maybe top two. I don't know. It's pretty good. So it's like, yeah, it's amazing. I love, and straight off the bat, it's really easy to get into. You know, like the controls are really easy. The menu system, like, it's an RPG, right? So there's battle, there's turn-based battles with enemies, just like, you know, like Paper Mario, like Mario and Luigi's titles. This is like the forefather of those games, really, isn't it? It's a precursor to all of those titles, those spin-offs. And that battle system, that menu system is just super intuitive, really easy to pick up. I think when Princess Peach disappears, or, you know, you get kicked out of Bowser's castle at the very beginning, and you're talking to a toad, and suddenly he says, oh, do you know about the battle system? And you've already done a couple of battles, you know, because you're thrown straight into action. And there's a Goomba there waiting for you. And I didn't have to say no, because it just was so intuitive. I just said, yeah, I'm good.
So, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And you know, that goes to something I was thinking about, but I wasn't actually thinking specifically of what you said, but because I'm maybe 7-8 hours into the Switch version here. And I think this game really nails pacing, like, right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of RPGs kind of, you can get bogged down a bit and lose some momentum, but I feel like Mario RPG, by and large, has just excellent pacing. There's, like, rarely, if ever, a dull moment. You know, you're moving. The battling doesn't feel like a waste of time. Like, it's grinding that's enjoyable, you know, because of the mechanics, especially once you get into, you know, some of the team-up moves, you know, with the party, which have awesome cinematics, which I think really highlight the visual appeal of the Switch port. It's real eye candy. So, yeah, I just can't recommend it enough. And I know Kirk loves RPGs. So, this is, you know, this is an easier RPG. It's not, you know, one that's going to make you pull your hair out, but I definitely recommend it to anyone who likes that genre, because there's just a lot of high quality fun on offer.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a Square Enix title with Nintendo, right? Like Square Enix was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you can tell it has that kind of that look to it. It looks like Mario in a Final Fantasy setting, kind of, if that makes sense. Just in terms of the, like, I mean, it looks like Mario, but it just, some of the castle walls, for example, the way they're rendered, and this might be the Switch version talking, you know, in terms of the remake, but it just had that quality that made it look like an RPG that I would expect from Square Enix. I don't know. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to appreciate this so much now in 2023, but, you know, when this game first came out in the mid 90s, you know, it was like, wow, Square is doing a Mario game. That's pretty unusual. I mean, Nintendo, yeah. You know, with the exception of like those odd CDI titles, they really keep their first party stuff close to the vest. So here they're giving it to Square, but I mean, Square of Chrono Trigger fame, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Square of Final Fantasy, or a lot of those other Super Nintendo, Secret of Mana, Earthbound, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And taking Mario and taking that RPG kind of experience and polish and shine and putting it in a brand new universe, but at the same time, one that's familiar. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing the game does well, even if you're brand new to it. Like, yeah, it's new, but it still feels familiar enough. It has that good balance for, comfort or even tapping into nostalgia. Even if you haven't played it, it still has like nostalgic notes, if that makes sense.
Totally. In fact, I was thinking about that when I was playing yesterday, because the music is very Mario, but it reminded me a little bit of the Mario movie, in the sense that it's the classic Mario tunes that you know, but they're kind of remixed a little bit.
Yeah. Does that make sense? That's a good point. I didn't think of that, but I definitely agree. And the soundtrack's amazing. And one thing I actually didn't realize until just before I picked it up, I missed it when they unveiled it, but you can actually flip between the modern soundtrack and the Super Nintendo original.
Oh, really?
As somebody who loves video game music and classic chiptunes, that's like a dream feature. So I find myself going into every area, and I wish you could flip right on the fly. You do have to go into a menu, so it's not instantaneous, but still, it's awesome. And you can hear the originals definitely hold up, but the modern ones just give it that extra instrumentation and, you know, kind of give it an even more epic feel. So,
oh, that's cool.
It's just great. Check it out on YouTube. You know, they have like samples of comparing the old and new, but awesome.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. I'll switch it in game and then check it out on YouTube. Yeah, that's brilliant. Cause the music is a highlight for sure. Definitely. And the other thing that stood out to me, and again, I'm only like an hour into it probably, but the humor is very intact, as in it's funny. It's quite funny, which is and that's a bit of a staple of those Paper Mario / Mario and Luigi games. They're kind of a little bit tongue in cheek, you know, they don't take themselves too seriously. And I find that with this game as well. There's quite a lot of humor embedded within the dialogue. So far,
I've been doing screen captures actually, because certain jokes have been like making me laugh out loud. I'm playing it on my own.
But
it takes a lot for a joke to make me laugh out loud when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
But like, I did that. Scenes just pop up and I'm like, pah! And then from the other room, Jen's like, what's funny? I tried to explain it.
Yeah, I was the same. I was sitting here playing it. I mean, Harrison was with me, but he was doing his own thing, my son Harrison. And, I'm playing it and laughing. I'm like looking at him going, you got to look at this. It's funny. And I even made him read a couple and he was like chuckling with me. So yeah, definitely a standout. Kirk, did you ever play the original at all?
I did not. And that may be a bias of mine. I'm enjoying listening to you two talk about this, because I love RPGs and I've always wondered about this one, but being a big fan of the genre, I have like a preconceived notion of what they need to be. And I need a lot of melodrama in my stories, and I wasn't sure that the Mario and the gang were going to bring a whole lot of that. But aside from that, everything else you're saying about the game sounds absolutely wonderful. So it's possible that I need to set that sort of bias aside and take this a little more seriously and give it a shot.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm just at the point, Trev, where I'm chasing that crocodilian creature, you know, the thief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm up to. So it's like, and I've just met Mallow, right? The frog. Apparently, he's a frog. That's what he was called.
Tadpole?
Yeah. And that was one of the funny moments, because when he joins your party, Mallow, it says, Mallow the frog has joined your party. And then it's like in brackets, who looks nothing like a frog. Because I literally said to myself out loud, he's a frog? He doesn't look like a frog. And then the game confirmed that by saying, here's Mallow the frog, who does not look like a frog. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's good.
And yeah. I will say, without ruining anything for maybe someone like Kirk, who's more used to that, I wouldn't necessarily call it, like, you know, melodramatic, but Mallow and Gino too, the new characters to Mario bring some twist that maybe you know, Mario doesn't necessarily. I would say actually Mario, even though he's the title character, most of the twists come from the supporting cast, or even Peach and Bowser. They kind of get put into different roles as the game goes on. So I don't want to say any more for those who've never played it, but
yeah,
there's surprises, even if it you know, it's not going to be like a Final Fantasy 2 or 3 in terms of, you know, drama and gut-wrenching, you know, stuff like that. But the story is definitely, it keeps you going. I mean, you want to see it through and learn more about, you know, the characters and the kingdoms. I mean, it's not, you know, Mushroom Kingdom. You know, you're going to all new locales that really have personality. It doesn't just feel like a reskin of the Mushroom Kingdom, you know, with new sprites or whatever. So
That's true. And to your point earlier about nostalgia but being fresh, there's a lot of, yeah, like those new characters are obviously fresh, like Mallow. I don't think he's in any other game. And but there's also Peach and Bowser and Mario, and Toads feature quite prominently, at least in the intro side of things. But yeah, it's a good mix of old and new. And yeah, definitely enjoying my time with it. I'm glad to hear you are too, Trev, but we kind of knew. You knew you would, because you've played the original. So
I did, but I really, this one surprised me, because I'm like, you know, the visual had such a unique style, like, you know, with that. I think I made a point when I reviewed the VC port, which I checked. It was 7 years ago, last time I played this.
Wow.
But, you know, they threw out, you know, a lot of terminology, like, you know, SGI, you know, graphics or whatever. And, you know, some of those, you know, 90s buzzwords when technology was really, you know, kind of leapfrogging in video games. And, you know, as a kid or a teen, you don't really know what that means, but you knew what looks good. And I had grown so attached to that style. I'm like, I don't know if this new look, it didn't necessarily wow me watching it like in a trailer or seeing it in stills, but seeing it in front of me, and especially seeing the new cinematics, like when that crocodile that chased through town, I think it had some dramatic camera angles, which really wasn't in the original. So that really felt brand new. And I'm like, wow, you know, I feel like I'm right in the village here, you know, watching the action unfold. So,
you mean the cutscene that shows Mallow? Yeah, that looked really good. And I didn't know what it was before. But yeah, maybe it was completely new, that whole scene.
Yeah. This was very gorgeous cutscenes. I mean, they really did a lot with that the Super Nintendo just couldn't do, because, well, one, it was a 16-bit system, but two, it was a cartridge. So, you know, there's only so much you can do. And they did a lot. But yeah, this just, that really impressed me. And every cutscene, for that matter, has.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's really well done. They've done a really good job. You know, sometimes remakes seem pointless. I think this is a good one, you know, to make it accessible to people who haven't heard it before, to upgrade the visuals. I mean, we're talking about a 27-year-old game, right? 1996, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
I know. It is crazy, yeah. So to give it a new lease of life, I mean, I definitely will be recommending my kids to play it, because they enjoy the Paper Mario series. They will get a kick out of this one, I think. So they saw me play a bit of it yesterday. So we've got it now. We can all enjoy it. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to hearing your full review then, Trev. That's going to be interesting to read.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge not to to gush too much. Professional, but to your point too about accessibility, the not that Mario RPG was necessarily a difficult game, you know, compared to its contemporaries, but this Switchboard also has I forget what they call it, breezy mode or whatever.
Ah, yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask which one you chose.
I did pick breezy for two reasons. One, because I had played the game before, so I wasn't like I was necessarily challenging myself to beat it. But also because it was a new feature, I wanted to see if I could really pick out, how much it altered the formula.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a nice feature for those who are just more interested in, maybe they don't want to dive into the battling and they're more interested in the story, the characters, the world. I do kind of wish that they also gave the option for a hard mode for people who maybe have played the game before, but I don't know if maybe that's something you unlock.
Maybe. Yeah.
They only
give you the two options, don't they? Breezy and normal.
Yeah. And I love the breezy option. I mean, I'm playing on that, but at the same time, I'd love a hard option too. What if I wasn't playing this to get a review out the door? What if I was just, really wanting to take my time? I might probably pick the hard mode, but if it's not there, you got to make your own challenge. And you can do that. I mean, you can skip on certain upgrades. You can, level up your character in different ways, but it's nothing right out of the box.
Mm-hmm. What is the breezy mode like? Because I have not tried that. What is the difference? Do you still do the battles?
Oh yeah, you still do the battles.
Do you take less damage or something? Or?
Yeah, they actually, I think when you pick it, they identify like your attacks do a little more. Maybe the enemies have a little less hit points. It wasn't, I didn't notice a pronounced difference initially. The more I'm going on, I'm starting to notice it with like certain boss encounters aren't taking as long as I remember. I don't think it's a pronounced difference just because I don't think the original game was what I would call difficult. Not that I'd call it easy either. I think it had a fair challenge. It was, again, it wasn't like a Final Fantasy type thing. It was Mario RPG. So,
yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, I wouldn't say it's difficult either, but I am surprised at the difficulty just because I noticed Mallow, for example, in my party, we're just having encounters and they're not random encounters, Kirk, by the way, they're not random. So, cause you know how I don't like those.
Yes. Yes.
You can
Square did that a lot, an awful lot. Yeah. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, no, you can kind of avoid enemies if you want to. I've tried to take on everyone that I've met just because I want to level up. But when Mallow was getting low on health and I ran out of mushrooms to increase his health, he seems to get hurt a lot at the moment. But you know what else I love, Trev? This is just a small thing. But you know when you level up, they kind of do this little dance. And if Mario's leveling up, I just love the way they dance. And it's like if Mallow's leveling up, Mario does a different dance to kind of like encourage him, like, yeah, go Mallow. And then the same with Mario leveling up, Mallow does a dance. It's just so cute. It's really funny.
Wait, Gemma, till you add more people to your party, because everybody has a different dance. And you think I'd get sick of seeing the same things as each character levels up, because whichever character's leveling up, the other one's dance. But every time I and watch it, and I was showing my wife, I'm like, hey, check it out, do.
Oh, I'm glad it wasn't just me who enjoyed that then. Yes, I love it. Was that in the original as well? Did they do little dances like that? Do you remember?
The screen was in the original. I'm trying to remember from when I played it 7 years ago. It had to have been, because I definitely remember that screen and being able to choose your bonus. Do you want to have attack power or, health points or whatever, hit points, but I don't remember it being as animated, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
cool.
Don't take my word on that. Again, 7 years may not sound long, but it is long. So, and prior to that, it was even longer, because...
Mm-hmm. That's true. Would have been 20-odd years. Yeah.
Yeah. So, But oh, I did think of one other thing. You're talking about some of the challenge. One thing I did notice is tough is just getting enough coins to you know, invest, because it's like, oh, I want this new weapon, I want this new armor, but I know I need mushrooms or you know, honey syrup to do my flower points. That would be like the equivalent of magic in another RPG.
Yes.
You know, like if Mario wants to throw a fireball, you know, it takes away from that. So it's finding that balance of which upgrade do I want to skip so I can invest in more, you know, health or you know, or vice versa. You know, I'm taking too much damage. Do I want to get armor for this? And as you add characters to your party, of course, it gets more difficult because you want to outfit everyone.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so much money to go around.
I know, like a suit, like I was just chilling with Mario, doing a great job. He was leveling up nicely. And then Mallow joined the party. And I was really excited to see Mallow because I've, you know, seen him in pictures and trailers. I've never used him before. So I'm like, cool, I've got a party member. Then it's like, oh, it's a little bit harder now because I've got to make sure he's not taking too much damage. I've got to use mushrooms on him, whereas Mario's a bit stronger. So yeah, there's definitely some, yeah, lots of RPG elements at play. Very cool. And I love the special moves, you know, like you said, the fireballs. Mario's got the super jump, whatever it's called. Mallow's got the thunderbolt thingy, whatever that's called. The raining HP. He's got a few up his sleeve there. So, yeah, I can't wait to expand on that and see what else is out there. Because obviously I'm just scratching the surface, really, at this point. But yeah.
And once you get a third in your party, they have these group moves. And they're all different depending on your combination of the three characters. You can only have three active, which... Mm-hmm. Even for the time, 96, I think, was kind of lame because other RPGs were doing four or six. So that is one thing I don't care for. But, you know, your characters all have different combo moves, and the cutscenes are just gorgeous to watch them pull it off. And it's fun experimenting to see because they're all really different, too. So,
yeah,
a lot of fun ahead.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. That's an awesome wrap up of Super Mario RPG to date. And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing your final thoughts when they're ready. Let's move on to our next item, which is all about sales, because as I said, it's that time of year. We're celebrating Thanksgiving. I hope you both had a happy Thanksgiving, by the way. And now we're in the sales mode. So Nintendo's had a lot of sales. All the, you know, the developers have jumped on the bandwagon with this. Kirk, did you want to kick off what you think is a good sale item for our listeners to check out?
Yes, because it's one I'm actually considering taking advantage of. I mentioned in the past that I will add all kinds of games to my wish list on Nintendo's website and wait for the sales to roll in. I mentioned it because I was hoping Sea of Stars would go on sale, and it hasn't.
Not yet.
Persona 5 Royal has been reduced from $59.99 to $29.99. It's half off through December 4th. And this is a game I kind of skipped. I think I also mentioned before I had it on the PlayStation 3 and played it. And after a while decided I was not cool enough to get into this game. Like the characters are all a little too slick and kind of awesome for me. So I had a hard time connecting with them. But I liked the game otherwise. And I liked it's got like the Shin Megami Tensei kind of battle system in it, but with this really big story. I think I may want to try that again. And now that it's 50% off, I'll get it. And Sam, my son, said that he might want to play it too. He's been interested in it and he normally doesn't play this kind of game. So, I think I may jump and grab that one. It's, again, 50% off at $30, in the US until December 4th.
Very cool. Yeah. And a lot of these games are, big discounts, you know. A lot of the first party stuff that Nintendo has on sale, I think it only ever hits like 30% most of the time, right? Which is good. But some of the other ones, like 50% is a really good deal. I think some others are up to 70%, 90% even off. There's just a lot happening, which is really good. So yeah, you might as well jump on it while it's on sale. What about Ghost Trick? Who's that one?
That's me also. And this one, it was just released for the Switch. When did this come out? It's an old 3DS game. They released it on June 30th for Nintendo Switch. But it's a game I finished because I played it on DS. I believe I actually also had it for iOS. They made a mobile version of it. Mm. And it's a game I really love. The way it solves puzzles, or the way the puzzle solving has, is you're kind of like manipulating the environment in order to make certain things happen in order to save people. You kind of have to chain these events together to prevent the characters from having somewhat sad and miserable outcomes. Very fun game, very funny. But because I've already played it twice, I thought, I don't think I need to do it again. But now that's on sale, also through December 4th. And this one is 33% off. It's normally a $30 game on the Switch, is now only $20. So now may be a time for me to pick this up. I don't think I would play it right away, but I may as well have it ready to go for when I do have some time and want to go through this adventure one more time.
Hmm. Is it Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, or is that a sequel?
Yes, Ghost Trick Phantom Detective.
Oh, yeah. Looks like there's a demo as well.
Yes.
And it's not on sale in Australia, just FYI. Oh, well, I'm just looking at the site. Yeah. But I can always access the US eShop if I need to. But yeah, there's a free demo at least.
One of the advantages of having multiple region accounts.
Oh, yes. Boy. Am I going to get yelled at again, Trev?
I couldn't know anything about that. That looks really cool, though. The graphics look very interesting. Like, it's got a very cool style to it.
Yeah, it's very colorful and it's very upbeat and all these really quirky characters. It's got dogs that you get to work with, these really cute dogs that have wonderful personalities of their own. And it's just a blast to play through it.
Yeah. Is someone roller skating in one scene? Like, what's that about? Is that just a random thing?
Oh, that just may be an animation. Yeah, it's looking through the screen captures here, there's the demo, if you get it, I won't give anything away here, but the demo, the story begins with your character dying. And you kind of like wake up and realize that now that you're a ghost, you have the ability to possess certain items. So there are all these objects on the screen and you're able to say open doors or turn on fans, which manipulate something else in the environment. And then you're able to pass from item to item to get to what you need in order to prevent other characters from being murdered or something along those lines. So the roller skating, there's a bike there, I think, in one of the pictures we're looking at, and you're able to move that bike around just have one item, like say an alarm go off or a guitar make a noise in order to distract someone who would otherwise shoot somebody, for example. You're able to help that person get away.
Wow. Yeah, definitely an interesting premise. That's cool.
Yeah, very unique. I haven't played any other games like it since. I would love to see a sequel to this. If there was a new game in this series, I would absolutely pick it up right away and play it straight through. But like I said, since I've done this one twice, the sale is a good opportunity for me to pick it up and decide if I want to do it a third time.
And it's a Capcom title by the looks of it. Yeah, nice. Cool. Thank you, Kirk. Trev, you have a very large number for us.
Well, I was looking. I'm like, I'm going to look through the sales and see. Last I checked, and it could have actually increased because, indie devs keep adding stuff in. It was 3,333 games on sale.
Wow.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking through the Switch store. I mean, you scroll the screen so far and that's got to stop to load. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But I did pick a couple that were just sort of near the top, like good sellers that I enjoyed. One is the Contra Collection. It's only $3.99, which is a steal. Because not only do you get the NES games and the Super Nintendo, but you also get the regional variations, which are different. You also get the arcade game, and there's just a lot of fun for $3.99. I mean, that works out to, I don't know, 50 cents a game or something when you break it all down. So
yeah, that's like 80% off. It's normally like $20, I think, right?
Yeah, and honestly, at $20, it's worth it. So for $3.99, absolute steal. I mean, heck, the original NES Contra alone, I mean, that's one of my favorites. But then you get Super C and you get, the Alien Wars. And like I said, the arcade game, the regional variations are different, too. It's not just a new title screen.
Yeah.
You know, there's some extra things that, you know, fans will really appreciate, but anyone can appreciate. Just a lot of fun, and especially if you have someone to play with, you know, in co-op. So
that's awesome. There's 10 titles. Yeah, that's crazy. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other one I had, I don't know if you guys have ever played any of the Worms games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
On the Mac.
Yeah, definitely on a computer, like on a PC.
They've been around for a long time, but Worms, WMD, I think it stands for Worms of Mass Destruction. I'm not actually sure.
Right.
$5.99. It is just a lot of fun for some good, you know, competition. I think you can, I know you can play it online because I've done that with some of our Pure Nintendo contributors.
Cool.
And it was like me and my wife teamed up against another couple, and it's just a lot of fun. And I think that's a great price for what it has to offer. So,
yeah, well, that's I just
wanted to shout it out.
Another big discount. That one's 80% off. So that's a huge discount right there.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a good, really good deal. And I had never played a Worms game actually prior to this one, believe it or not, even though I've had friends tell me how fun they were. It's just one of those. I feel like everyone has a franchise or a series that has escaped them. And that was one for me. So I picked it up and I'm like, man, I've been missing out.
And it's like 6 players, right? Up to 6 players.
Yeah. And the online's smooth too. It's not like laggy or choppy. This isn't really a fast paced game. You know, it's strategy. You got to think and pick your move, and it gives you plenty of time. So, you know, if you're any worried about, you know, online stability, or you have a bad router or whatever, I wouldn't fret too much with this game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. What a good pickup. Yeah. Definitely, listeners, if you're, you know, looking for something, there's a couple of good options right there. So yeah. And what a steal. What about this Red Deer Games business? What's the deal there?
All right. I put this note here because if you're looking through 3,000 sales or really any week you look for games on sales, listeners, you're going to see a plethora of games published from Red Deer. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Back in the day, I reviewed some Red Deer games. I liked them, but the issue is they fled the eShop with variations of the same game. I picked just one game to illustrate my point, because I'm not going to waste my time going through, you know, dozens and dozens. Let's take the game Knights. I think it's Knights and Guns. So right. You know how many editions of Knights and Guns Red Deer has in the eShop?
No.
Here's what I got, and I could have missed some. They have the Platinum Edition, the Diamond Edition, the Gold Edition, the Premium Edition, the Deluxe Edition, the Complete Edition, the Prime Edition, the Silver Edition, the New York Edition, whatever that is, the Back to School Edition, the Extended Edition, the Game of the Year Edition. Yeah, right. A lot of these games have Game of the Year Editions, you know, Game of the Year from, I don't know, some random follower. Not to mention the regular edition. You know, so what's that? A dozen variations of just one game. And every game they publish is like that. And I hate to knock any publisher, but...
And these are all full price, right? I mean, I assume they're just slightly variated costs.
Well, what they'll do is...
Same basic package.
Yeah, at any given time, they'll put, I don't know, a handful of those. You know, say there's a dozen of these games, they might have maybe 4 or 5 of them on sale. So the games kind of stay... I guess they want them near the top of the charts or near the top of the sales page. But what happens is it makes an already sluggish menu really chug when you have to look through Red Deer games. That's why we've stopped accepting review codes from them. Because I was joking with Kirk. I said, don't take that, because, you know, 3 weeks from now, there's going to be the even better version. And then a couple weeks after that, there's going to be the deluxe version of that one, and so forth and so on. And it's just, maybe it's just me. I'd be curious, listeners, what you think of red deer, but they just saturate the eShop, and it drives me. I feel like it's a situation where they may be benefiting in the short term, but I think they're going to turn off a lot of players.
Yeah. In the long
term. And they've turned me off because I was a supporter early on. Like I said, I reviewed some of their games. I liked them, but those days are gone.
Wow. There you go. Yes.
I hate to disappoint you, Treb, but we actually do have one Red Deer game in the review queue right now.
What? How'd that slip past us?
I'm going to admit it. I admit it. I reached out and asked for a code. And Bill Steitler's reviewing it for us.
Is it the deluxe one, though? Is it the platinum one?
This is the first one. It's that one night burlesque game, like a mystery visual novel with this kind of weird black and white look to it. It doesn't look like a typical Red Deer game, but yeah, there it is. So my apologies to Trev and Red Deer, if you're listening, this is your chance. Do not release another version of this game.
Yeah. Leave it with one. If you have to do a patch or DLC, do that. But
Yeah, that's the thing about that. All these special editions, there should just be a $1.99 DLC that you can download instead of forcing people to pay or tricking people into paying for a new version at full price instead of just getting the new content.
Yeah,
that is a bit dodgy. Interesting. I hadn't really noticed that, to be honest. I'll look out for it now. Thank you for warning us, Trev, and giving us that heads up. Yeah, Red Deer. Yeah. I definitely have reviewed a couple of theirs as well. They do send a lot of emails. I'm sure you guys get the same ones. they publish a lot.
I wouldn't mind. Like I said, if they just had one version or even just straight DLC or, you know, updates, but to do, you know, a dozen or more. Like I said, I just picked one game. And then to do disingenuous labeling, like game of the year, complete. It's like, the other game is incomplete. Tell me who's calling this piano teacher game of the year. You know? don't lie to me.
Yeah. Well, you've heard it here, folks. Trevor's put his foot down. The foot is going down. It's going down.
The foot has spoken. Nice, Jim. I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, let's move on to one more sale item that we have on our list, which is terabyte memory cards, which are on sale, apparently, which are very handy if you need extra storage space on your Switch, right? So who knows about this one?
Yeah, I threw that there. You know, especially like for us, I mean, because we review games and you guys know how many games do you have to archive to make room for the latest review game.
Yes.
And I have a big memory card, but it's definitely full. I mean, so I'd be curious if I got the terabyte, you know, if I would even have more than that could fill it. But they've dropped down to, you know, they're finally no longer triple digits. So which the life of the Switch they have been. So, you know, if you want a legit one, I definitely be careful buying off Amazon because a lot of those are junk. But if you want to get a legit one, this is the time to do it.
I made that mistake many years ago. I bought one that didn't work and I sent it back and I never heard from them again. So I don't know what happened there.
You should have bought the complete terabyte memory card.
Yes, that was my
New York.
What was I thinking? That's a good tip. Definitely better to get a good quality memory card because it will last longer and it will actually be a terabyte if that's the size that you're after. Yeah, there's a lot of dodgy ones. Even eBay, the same thing. Got to be careful.
Although, do you think the Switch 2 or the new Switch is going to use the same type of card or are they going to change that up?
That's a good question.
They better give us more memory out of the box, at least. Not 64 gigs or whatever.
Yeah, because a lot of smartphones don't have that expanded memory option anymore. Like I've got a Samsung and I have a micro SD card in mine. It's a slightly older model. And the reason I don't want to upgrade is because a lot of them don't have it anymore. And I'm like, I still take a lot of, like, I know everything's in the cloud. I get that, but it also takes space in the cloud. So, you know, there's only so much storage I'm willing to pay for, you know, Google. So, I do have a lot of photos and I'm a bit old school. I have songs on my phone, like actual MP3s. So Yeah.
But I'm not snorting at that. That's about 220. What do I have? 256 gig on my phone. I have like 13,000 MP3s on my phone.
Oh, that's, gosh.
Yeah, it's my music collection. It goes.
We are kindred spirits.
Yeah,
I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I buy music, I rip it off CDs, I download it, I pay for it, and I keep it with me at all times. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Cool. Yeah, I just like having it there. You know. Yeah. Okay. Same page. Thank you. Yeah. So I mean, if listeners have any good terabyte or any memory cards that you can recommend, let us know. Of course, we'd love to know. Shall we move on to games we're playing? Because, yeah, we're fast approaching the hour mark, but we've still got 20 minutes, so let's talk about some games we're playing. And Kirk, you're playing something called 9 Years of Shadows. Would you like to tell us about that one?
Yeah, this is a game from Freedom Games, is the publisher. It's a Metroidvania. I'll say it's a Metroidvania for people who aren't good at Metroidvanias, which makes it perfect for me.
Right.
It's kind of got a little bit of a retro look to it. It's kind of pixelated, but highly detailed, very colorful. In fact, that's part of the game. It actually starts out completely in black and white because the main character, whose name is Europa, is in this world that has been robbed of all of its color. She's fighting a personal fight along the way and kind of dies at the very beginning and is sort of rescued by this cute, colorful teddy bear, I'll say. I think the name is Apino, who I'm sure we'll learn more about. I haven't finished, so I'm going to find out why this teddy bear is floating around with her. Yeah. But as you move through the typical sort of Castlevania-like approach where you're on a screen and there are enemies to fight, then you go to another one and a map opens up and there are enemies or areas you can't get to yet. She acquires like different armors. Say in the first 2 or 3 hours, you come across a lot of pools of water that you can float on top of, and you can see there are things down there, but you can't dive. Eventually you acquire the Poseidon armor, which of course is going to allow you to swim.
Cool.
So now you fall into the water. Although the funny thing is you don't actually swim right away. You just sink. You don't die. You can stay underwater, but if there are things up higher, you can't get that until you unlock the mermaid capability. And at that point, now you can also swim and use kind of like a dash attack as you swim in order to take out enemies to float around this. And some of the bosses you come up against, they will have like, let's say a shield, and the shield will be highlighted in yellow. In that case, you have an armor that allows you to use a more powerful yellow attack. I can't remember the name of it, so I'm going to call it a yellow attack. If it's blue, then you put on the Poseidon armor. Now you're able to do more damage if you have that equipped. So as you're going into these fights, you're kind of adjusting your armor as you're able to do it. The boss fights are a lot of fun. But it is easier than most Metroidvanias I played for two reasons. The first is that like right before each boss battle, you get a really good save spot and they're a little more copious throughout. So there's not a point where you push 10, 11, 12 screens along and then you die and you got to go back that far.
Mm.
Generally, it doesn't happen like that. You're able to save more often. And you know, you're of course going to die and do some backtracking. But it's not as punishing as a lot of the others. The other thing is the combat is easier in that you have a ranged attack and the ranged attack is kind of overpowered. So you don't have to go up and fight a lot of these people in close quarters. You're able to kind of hang back in a safe spot, shoot it out. Now, the interesting thing about that is when you've used your ranged attack, like it's got a meter. So if that disappears and you get hit, you die. But as long as you're standing on solid ground, you're able to recharge it to, let's say, 80% just by hitting a button. So as long as you're not being attacked when you run out, no problem. You can stand still, recharge, and just go at it again. But when it does get a little more complex or when you're in boss battles, that's when you really got to know how to fight in order to make your way around, because you don't want to waste that meter, because then one hit could kill you as opposed to taking three or four. Because you're using a typical, I always get that wrong, melee attack?
Oh, yeah.
Melee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll hear it, and next time I'll still pronounce it incorrectly.
We all have words like that. I have many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's one of mine. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. It moves along at a brisk pace. The characters are fun. The graphics are great. It's got a really, music is plays a very important role too. You're finding various musicians along the way, and they go into a theater, and then you're able to talk to them in order to level up certain skills and items, provided you've acquired the right pieces. Lot of fun. And it doesn't look like it's too long. I've checked it. Or the press release says maybe about 5 to 10 hours to complete it. It's going to take me longer. It always does. But good game.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I do remember maybe I saw a press release or something as well. I've seen this before. I remember checking it out and thinking this looks pretty cool. So, yeah, definitely looks like. I mean, Metroidvanias can be really hard, and that can be off-putting for some players. I mean, I find them hard. So it's nice to have one that's a bit more user-friendly, let's say. Hey,
because yeah. And I get that there are most Metroidvania fans want them to be hard. That's the whole challenge. You know, they like that thing. I like this kind of game, but not to the point where I want to play it constantly in order to really refine the controls and get a feel for it and just be able to, you know, flow through it. I don't have the time to do that, and I'm not sure I'd be able to anyway. So it's good that every now and again, one where they kind of just pull the difficulty back a little bit. I welcome that.
Cool. Very good. So you're reviewing this one, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Probably, nice. Probably next week I'll have that review ready to go.
Awesome. Look forward to hearing all your final thoughts on that one. Meanwhile, I've been playing something called Fae Farm, which I could have put this in the sales section, to be honest, but I put it in the games we're playing section because I am actually playing it. And I don't know if you guys remember, I did mention this a few months ago because I played it at PAX. It was actually in the Nintendo area. So they were promoting it within it was right next to Prince of Persia right there. It came out in September, so it was already out when PAX was on, PAX Australia. But I tried it, you know, my kids were playing Detective Pikachu behind me and I was just watching them. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this Fae Farm. And, you know, we've talked, especially you and I, Kirk, about Sims, farm Sims, and how we're not super into them. But Fae Farm is a good balance between, I suppose, farming sim and RPG, I guess, like simple RPG. And the reason I'm playing it, by the way, is because it's actually free to play right now on the eShop until 28th of November. So even when this episode airs, you'll still have a couple of days to check it out. So it's completely free. The full game is free until midnight of 28th of September. So if you were thinking about trying it, go ahead and give it a go. It is also 25% off until the 4th of December. So I think it's US $44.99. So it's not a super cheap game, but I will describe it as Animal Crossing crossed with Fantasy Life. That's how I see it. And I'm probably, I am definitely more of a Fantasy Life fan than an Animal Crossing fan. Like, I love Animal Crossing. It's a great game that has its place, but I just don't spend a lot of time in that world. I think I was thinking about this morning before we recorded. Why do I not like sim games? And I think I just need a story, or I need like objectives, and things like Animal Crossing are just a little bit too relaxing for me. I don't know.
You need the stress, huh?
I need the stress. I need a to-do list. I need something. I have Animal Crossing and I definitely dip in and out of it, but I just don't spend the copious amount of hours in it that a lot of people do. Like, yeah, it's just not my thing. I get it. I love it. It's fantastic, but it's just not my style. But Fae Farm does a really good job of bridging that gap, I think, so far at least. And, you know, even simple things like you can jump in this game. So it feels like you're running around in some sort of action platformer, like it's a top-down-ish sort of style. But you feel like you can actually jump into a river and swim. You know, you can climb mountains. You can explore to your heart's content. And the other thing about it from a sim perspective is it's really easy to do. Like, I found, I guess, Harvest Moon a little bit fiddly in terms of controls, and just like you got to swap, you know, when you plant things, then you got to hoe them, and then you got to water them, and then it's a little tedious for me. This is just my opinion. But in Fae Farm, you just walk up to something and your tool changes. So you just slash a tree or chop a tree with an axe, or you break a rock with a hammer, or you dig up some grass with a spade, or you slash some flowers with a whatever sword. So it's just like, it's a lot easier. And also you have a magic staff that I've just acquired, which allows you to attack things. The only thing I can attack at the moment is these thorns that are growing all over the place. I don't know. This little island I've been shipwrecked on is cut off from the rest of the world. So there is there's something, you know what I mean? So there's actually like a story, an RPG element to it. You level up and you learn magic and you actually have to kind of find out what's going on with this island. So I really enjoy that aspect of it. So that's what I'm playing at the moment. It will end soon. So we'll see how far I get before the 28th. But I am enjoying it and I recommend checking it out since it's free. Go ahead. But that's what I'm playing right now, apart from Super Mario RPG. But let's move on to Trev, and you're playing Berserk Recharged. What is that?
I only say too much. Well, for one, because I want to save a lot for the review, but also it's a short game. It's a reimagining of actually one of my favorite 2600 games. Probably one of the first games I actually remember as a really, really little kid. But, you know, I keep giving these Recharged a series a chance, and they consistently underwhelm me. Even the best one, which was Centipede, game's still good. Even a weaker version is still good. But my issue with Berserk, playing it, and I'm like, man, this really doesn't feel like how I remember.
Right.
Like I look at it, and it you know, it kind of looks like Berserk, kind of plays like Berserk, but I'm like, what is this? I mean, I'm going to load up my 2600 cart so I can have a fresh comparison.
Oh, cool. You have that still going.
You know, I should have trusted my gut and let Kirk or somebody else take this one. But I'm like, I like the original so much.
Mm.
You know, maybe this will be the Recharged game that really clicks with me. And
yeah.
Yeah, Atari has a lot of these games, and by and large, everyone I've played has disappointed me for one reason or another. So I can't say it's a bad game, but well, I'll leave it at that.
Is it the controls, or is it have they changed the gameplay? Like what are you doing? You're going through a maze and shooting robots or something, right?
It's feel. I mean, on the 2600, and I imagine the arcade, I never played Berserk in the arcade. I only played it on 2600 with, you know, a single joystick and button.
Mm.
And, you know, when they're trying to do like a twin stick thing, it fundamentally changes the way the game feels.
Okay.
Like I have to retrain my brain. I'm like, okay, what is this Berserk twin stick kind of? And it's more than that. Like the main gimmick, well, I shouldn't say the main gimmick, but one of the key things with Berserk is, you know, you clear the room of, you know, the robots. If you don't do it quick enough, this enemy comes in to chase you and you can't defeat him. And for whatever reason in this game, he seems to appear within seconds. I'm like, what? Like, I barely...
Was that Evil Otto? Was that his name? Evil Otto?
Yes, Evil Otto. Oh, and I'm like, okay. In the original, man, maybe I was just better as a kid because I didn't have that many games, but I feel like I could play a long time and not see Otto. And right. I saw Otto on the first level. The first level.
Really? Wow. Like,
what's going on here? There's just a bunch of little things. Like they have achievements that have like names, but they don't indicate like what they are. Like it's not like, oh, kill X number of enemies or do this in a certain time. Like, or not even achievements. They're like challenges, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, how do I tackle this challenge if I don't know what it is? And yeah. Maybe I'm missing something, but.
So it's just like random from your perspective, because you'll randomly unlock an achievement just by doing something that you didn't know the achievement was asking you to do.
It's just weird. And I feel bad because Berserk is just, it's a great classic game. And I don't like the approach with this Recharge series. I just don't. And I've said it before, but this will probably be the last one I review, because I think it'd be better to have somebody with less memories or less attachment to the Atari brand, you know, to look at this.
That probably rules me out, because I played this in the arcade. This was one of my favorite games to play in the arcade. I never played it on. Well, maybe I did. I probably played it on Atari 2600, but.
And television didn't have Berserk?
No. Did they? No. If they did, I didn't have the game.
When I'm interested in this Otto character, when he comes in, can you still finish the level by avoiding him or not?
Oh yeah, you can.
But you can't kill him.
No, which is fine. I mean, you never could, as far as I know. Right. But
okay.
He just shows up quickly. Like, it caught me off guard. I'm like, this is a level one. Why am I seeing Otto?
Yep. And is he fine?
I wonder if he was created at the time too to like hurry up and get people off the machine so someone else could drop their quarter in, because if you're taking too long and just running around after you cleared them out, then you could play that game for a half an hour.
That makes sense.
So
I believe that.
Yeah, I don't know what the point, except that that's what everybody remembers. Like, everyone who played the game, you so hated when that thing showed up that it's a very distinct memory. Right. Of this smiley face coming on the screen. And if I remember, it can move through walls too. So you couldn't even try to hide from it. You had to just get out of there.
Yeah, you get stuck in a corner, forget it. You're up a creek.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a smiley face. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm looking at some screenshots.
Oh yeah. He's a friendly looking chap.
But it's tense. It's tense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the only way to finish the level is to kill all the other robots, right?
Well, that's another thing too. And I got to just pour into it. I got to put Mario RPG aside and just, sink a good chunk of time into Berserk. But like, there's multiple exits, and I don't know if they're trying to drive you in a certain direction, but
okay.
It's like, I feel like it's less an update and more like a reimagining.
Yeah. Okay. Mm.
But I feel like in the effort to reimagine it, they're kind of losing some of the immediacy of the original.
Yeah. That's a shame. Yeah, sometimes they shouldn't tinker with the classic, should they? Really? Mm. Just bring it. Well, I wonder, and this is a bit of a segue, but I wonder if they talk to fans like yourselves, hey fans, what do you think for Berserk? How should we bring this back to life? What do you think? They just, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder how that goes. When they're sitting there to say, okay, the next one in the series is going to be Berserk. Like, do they have a team of people sitting around saying, okay, we can't just have this go on because no one's going to, you played this game for 3 minutes, then you moved on to another machine. So they have to extend the life by adding certain things. How do they decide what they're going to add?
Yeah.
What not? What direction to go? I would love to be a part of one of those conversations sometime.
Yeah, it would be very interesting, wouldn't it? I agree.
I will say, and I don't read reviews when, and I'm reviewing the game myself, obviously.
Yeah.
But just looking at a Metacritic number, at least on the PlayStation 5, it has a 75 average, which is good. So at least on the PlayStation 5, other critics are connecting with it more than me. So again, maybe they're younger reviewers or just people who appreciate the changes more. I don't know. So I'm just one guy.
Yeah, you have to give it your worst review ever, 7 thumbs up. Well, it's disappointing that you're not enjoying it, but we'll look forward to hearing your final thoughts as well and see how what it rates. And I think
it does have multiplayer, which I have not done yet, and that's going to be
interesting.
An elevator, because all the other games are more fun when I've played with my wife, so I don't think this one will be any exception.
That's cool. And I think, it's good. That's one thing we do pretty well at Pure Nintendo, I think, is we're pretty honest, Justin's review of Tears of the Kingdom was honest, and so, especially when you've got that nostalgia factor, it's hard to balance. It is really hard. Like you were saying, even with Super Mario RPG, obviously that's the opposite side where you're kind of gushing about that one. But you're wondering if this is for fans like yourself or for newcomers. And if it doesn't strike that balance well, then what's it doing? I don't know. Anyway, hopefully this next one is a bit of a more pleasant experience so far. Jackbox Party Pack 10 that you're playing, Trev?
I am. I actually just started that. And originally we were going to have some company over. They were going to do some Black Friday shopping and whatnot, but for a couple of reasons it didn't work out. So I've only been able to play it with Jen so far, and not every mode, because some of party some of the modes are 3 players or more.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having fun. It's one of those games, much like the Rift Tracks game, where you can, you know, you have a use your phone. You go to the website, enter a code, and play off your phone, so you don't have to worry if you only have like one set of Joy-Cons or Pro Controller or something like that. Anyone can play. And for being Party Pack 10, I was telling Kirk this. I played the original You Don't Know Jack probably like back in 1999, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And I played a DS version. That was probably a long time ago, too. I mean, DS, that was 15 years ago, maybe. But yeah, they're fun. There's good variety. There's a lot of good humor. I think you can modify some of the humor, too, so it's a little more family friendly if you're playing with kids. But
that's a good touch.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, it's not, it's a party game, so it's not a game you're going to play on your own.
But yeah. Does this count as DLC? Like, do you need, or is it a standalone? Like, because if it's number 10, if you had number 9, could you upgrade it, or you have to, this is like a separate thing?
Kirk might know better than me.
Yeah, I think it's a separate thing. We've reviewed a few of them in the past, and it seems like what they're doing is, the party pack always consists of You Don't Know Jack. I'm assuming that's in there with the one you have, right? Trav on 10?
I don't know, but I know this is the only one I have. And okay. I redeemed the code and I didn't need anything else. So it works right out of the box.
Yeah, You Don't Know Jack is kind of irreverent and wonderful. Absolutely hilarious. Very fun trivia game. That you can play with others. And then each time they re-release it, they will give you a new series of other party games, like maybe two or three. I think it's the one we did most recently. There were four games total. You Don't Know Jack, and then three other games. I think that's what they've been doing with each of these.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sounds good. I mean, I've played some Jackbox games with friends at, you know, especially during COVID. So they're good fun.
Yeah. If you're going to be entertaining, you know, with like they just had the holiday, or you know, people have time off from work, maybe, or if, I don't know, if you get snowed in, maybe with the bad weather coming. Maybe not for you, Gemma, but
we'll stay inside with our air conditioning because it's too hot outside. So that's how it is.
Yeah, just a lot of fun. It's the type of game people who don't even normally play video games, I think, you know, can really have some fun with, because everyone has a cell phone.
So. Exactly. Yeah. No, they've done a good job with those. I agree. Very cool. Awesome. Well, the only other game I'm playing is this a little solitaire title called Super Solitaire that I thought I'd throw in at the end there. I'm reviewing this one. So they reached out to us to ask if we wanted to review. I reviewed another game of theirs. I think it was a crossword-based title. I'm playing.
I remember that one.
Yeah, which was really good. So this one's good as well. It's, you know, it's solitaire. It's a card game that you play by yourself. You solve it. Or you don't, and then you try again. It's got a few neat options. I will admit, I did think, and I don't know how much you guys know about solitaire, but my grandfather played a lot of solitaire, and he taught me how to play solitaire. And
I thought you were going to say he invented it.
No, he didn't. That would have been cool. That would have been a cool story. No, sadly not. But what I don't know if people realize, because I know this, but I don't know if everyone knows this, is that there are many versions of solitaire. It's not just the one with the seven cards, you know, the classic one, right, that you play on Windows. There's like, I don't even know how many. There's hundreds probably, but I know 10 maybe that my grandfather taught me. He had this book, which I wish I had. I don't know what happened to this book, which had how to play solitaire, and it had all these different games. And I used to try them as a kid with my grandfather, and I remember the ones that I liked, so I play them sometimes, and I've taught my kids them. And I thought Super Solitaire would have these in them, or at least some of them, but it just has the one classic solitaire. Oh.
That doesn't sound very super.
I feel like I was let down a little bit, but is that just me? Am I the only one? Does everyone else know about all these other versions of solitaire? I don't know. So did you guys know? It sounds like Kirk did.
I know some, because mostly when you get like one of those things, they have different variations. Like there's one called Spider maybe, and one called Klondike, I think I remember. I don't know which one I play. I'll call it Solitaire Standard, Original.
Yeah. And that's the one everyone knows. And that's on there, and it's good. There's daily challenges. There's a there's a hard mode, like a beat, it's called Beat the Devil. It's a Beat the Devil mode that you can do. So there's a few things in there. And if you like solitaire, it certainly looks good. It certainly plays well. It's all touchscreen enabled. You can rotate it if you want. You can have a rotate mode style if you like that kind of one-handed situation. So it's good. It's just, I was hoping, I thought it would have more.
That price, right? You have there, Jim, a $9.99?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought for that price it would have more modes, like more distinct solitaire modes. So,
and that's the thing. Yeah. The Switch has a lot of solitaire games.
Yeah, and sure, you know,
find some for like $1.99. I wouldn't be surprised if they have more modes.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And they reached out and they said they know that there's a lot out there. They know this is a bit pricier, but they think it's the ultimate version, and it is very good. Like, they have done a good job of creating this solitaire experience. I just thought there would be more.
Look at that solitaire collection on sale for $3.71. It's got Klondike, free sale, and 8 off. So,
oh yeah, free sale, that was one too. Yeah. So there are others out there that do have more modes.
It's kind of sounding like a Red Deer game to me. It's gonna be super deluxe solitaire next week.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing, and now I need to review it. Before we close off, we wanted to say that Trev, thank you. You have shipped our magazine to our subscribers. If you're a listener and a subscriber, it should be in your hands right now. If not, it will be there very soon. And if you don't get it, let us know, obviously, because we would like to fix that situation. But yeah, so they should be out right now. So hopefully everyone is enjoying those. We're already planning our next issue, so I'm very excited about that. What's our cover again? I can't remember. What are we doing?
We're doing like a sort of a collage for some of the games that we'll be enjoying announced for 2024.
Yeah, awesome. That'll be good. All right, so if you want to jump on board and if you want to get a printed magazine in your mailbox sometime in the new year, go to patreon.com/purenintendo and join and support us. And any other things we needed to say before we close off the show?
Can I make a retraction?
You sure can.
I've been looking up the Jackbox Party Pack, and it does not include You Don't Know Jack every time.
Oh, okay.
What they do, it looks like, is they roll in some new games, and every now and again will update previous titles that they haven't included in a while. So it just so happens that the two that I've looked at both had You Don't Know Jack, but not all of them do. But that's good, because then that means if you buy it each time, you're not getting just a rehash of the same game. You're going to get some new titles and only occasionally get a rehash.
Cool. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
I like to be accurate.
Yes. Nice. Any final thoughts from you, Trev?
No, not really. I just hope anyone who's a subscriber enjoys the new issue. I hope it was worth the wait. The mail is a little slower this time of year.
True.
Be patient, but yeah, it should be in your box by the time this episode airs.
Nice. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today on the show. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And until next week, game on, everybody. Bye.
See ya.